We are in week two of our three-week vision series where we're thinking about the life and future of our church, what our mission is here together, and what we dream about the future and what God might do in and through us as a church family. If you missed last week's sermon, and can I strongly encourage you to have a listen from our website or have a read of it. The notes are online, but you can also pick up a copy on the information table in the foyer. Really, these 3 weeks are a tightly connected set of sermons to help us together think through, big picture, what are we on about here, where are we going, and how might we honour Jesus well together. And so I'd love as many people as possible to have followed this three-week series with us. So let me encourage you to do that. I'm going to pray for us and ask God to help us this morning as we think about this more together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you sent Jesus into our world to die for our sin, to give us forgiveness and hope for eternal life. Help us today to consider our church again and how we might together partner with you in your mission here in Blacktown and to the ends of the earth. Amen. I wonder why you're here this morning. Why is it that you are here today? Maybe somebody dragged you to church this morning, made you get out of bed. And maybe you came to church today because you have a desire to learn, and this seemed like a good place to learn something. Maybe you really love morning tea, and you can't wait for the finish of the service to get out there and get that biscuit or scone or tea or coffee. Maybe you're here because it feels like this is a good thing to be doing. Maybe you're here because it's a place to meet people and have some friends, catch up with people, and not be at home lonely. There are lots of reasons that you might be here this morning. But why are we here together? Or why do we all here meet together on a Sunday morning, as we do week by week? Why do we meet in small Bible study groups, in people's homes throughout the week? Why do we run various ministry activities as part of the life of our church? Why do we exist as a church? It's the question we're going to wrestle with together this morning. And perhaps there is no clearer part in the Bible, no better place for us to go than in what Barry just read for us in Matthew 28. That's a passage that is known as the Great Commission. Just after Jesus has died and risen again, he spends about 40 days with his disciples, teaching them, training them. And in this moment, in this passage, he's just about to ascend into heaven. And before he does, he gives his disciples a mission. The Great Commission. And he tells them, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is a mission that is universal. It applies to every Christian and every church. And Jesus has given one mission for his people in every time and every place throughout history. This is, if you like, why our church exists. This is Jesus' mission for us. Let me make two very brief observations about this mission. Firstly, when it says all nations, it's not just talking about political regions, although it does include that. This is a mission to make disciples in every place on earth, in every level of society, in every social and cultural group that exists. And secondly, the reason that you and I are here today is because other Christians in the past have taken this mission seriously. They took it seriously enough to bring the good news of Jesus to this nation or to the social or cultural groups that you belong to, or to those of your ancestors who thought it necessary to spread and pass down and share this good news. That means that you and I have already benefited from this mission. We enjoy the benefits. That's why we are here today. Others have shared this good news with us. And now we are called to join in this mission as well. As we embrace Jesus' mission for us, we want to be clear in what this means for us to be a disciple. Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." What does it mean to be a disciple? Well, we want to describe a disciple in a way that is understandable for our context. And so our mission statement as a church is really a definition of what we believe it means to be a disciple. Let me share it with you this morning. Why do we exist? Blacktown Anglican exists to know Jesus, to treasure Jesus, to depend on Jesus, and to represent Jesus. To know Jesus, to treasure Jesus, to depend on Jesus, and to represent Jesus. This is what we believe it means to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. This is our way of expressing what Jesus means when he says, "Go and make disciples." This is what God wants for you and for me and for people from every tribe and nation and people and culture. We want people to know Jesus. We want people to treasure Jesus. We want them to depend on Jesus. We want them to represent Jesus. This morning, I simply want to explain to you what do we mean by each of these terms and how are they a way of expressing what Jesus means when he says for us to go and make disciples. Blacktown Anglican exists to know Jesus. We want every person to know and understand personally the good news that Jesus is the Savior and King for all humanity. Last week we heard that more than half of the people who live in our city have no affiliation with Jesus and no affiliation with Christianity. And no doubt many of those who do affiliate in some way with Jesus or Christianity know things about Jesus, but they do not know Jesus. I've been a Sydney Swans fan for about 25 years. I'm not ashamed of that at all. But I am ashamed of what I'm about to admit to you next. There was a time that I could tell you the names of all 42 players in the Sydney Swans list. I could tell you the number jumper they wore of every player. I could tell you with a high degree of accuracy the height and the weight of every player on that list. I could tell you the junior club they played at when they were younger. I knew an awful lot about the Sydney Swans team. Can you imagine if I went to one of the homes of one of the players and I knocked on the door? "Adam Goods, how are you, mate? Good to see you again." What do you think he would say? "Who are you?" It's a fair question, isn't it? He has no idea who I am. I knew an awful lot about these players, but I did not know them. I knew about them, but I did not know them. And they didn't know me. You are not saved because you know about Jesus. You are saved because you know Jesus. And because you are known by him. Friends, if you are here this morning and you do not know Jesus as your King and Savior, I want you to know Jesus as that. Not just know about him, I want you to know him. And for all of us, the task of a Christian is to continue growing in knowing Jesus. But no one here knows Jesus fully. We have much to learn about him. And we want to be a community that seeks to grow together in knowing Jesus more deeply in our lives. Knowing Jesus is a task that we pursue for all of our life. It is not a one-off event. It is a lifetime journey of growing in knowing Jesus every day. As a Jesus-shaped community, we seek to know Jesus. This means the Bible will shape everything that we do, because the Bible is the primary way that we know Jesus. It ought to be central to every activity and every ministry that our church does. Why on earth would a church do anything that doesn't involve listening to the God of the universe speak to his people through the Bible? We want our ministries of our church to be places that help people grow a deeper knowledge of Jesus, and to know what he has done for us on the cross and what he continues to do in and through us by his Spirit. We want you to grow in your knowledge and confidence of God's Word, of knowing how to apply it to your everyday life. We want to increase the opportunities we have to encourage one another in growing to know Jesus, and to do that in our church community, and to help people outside of our church community come to know Jesus for the first time and join us on this journey of growing and knowing Jesus together. Blacktown Anglican exists to know Jesus and to treasure Jesus. To treasure Jesus is to value Jesus above everything else in this world. It means believing that following Jesus is the best way for us to live. And we treasure Jesus by seeking to love what Jesus loves, to desire what he desires, to pursue what he pursues. I've spent the last month attempting to eat healthier and improve my diet. Apparently, KFC is not one of the five food groups. I have never craved broccoli. Has anyone here ever craved broccoli before? No one. You know, there were three people at 8 o'clock who craved broccoli. I don't understand. They're robots or something. I don't mind broccoli. I can enjoy eating it, but I've never craved it. Now, Emily, my eldest daughter, is 5 in preschool, and a few months ago she was learning about healthy foods. Apparently, food is now categorized something along the lines of, there are always foods, you can eat them anytime, there are sometimes foods, and there are rarely foods, things that you eat only on special occasions. A birthday cake, maybe. And upon Emily learning this information, she delighted to put it into practice by identifying for me which category the food I was eating fit in. And it turns out most of the food that I desire is in the rarely or never categories of food. And as I've attempted to eat healthy, I don't have a great desire to eat these foods. I still don't desire broccoli. Now, what do you think would happen if I waited until I desired to eat healthy before I started? Would I ever get there? No. Some of you have tried that. Doesn't work. Now, the best way to create a desire in me to eat healthy is simply just start eating healthy, even when I don't yet desire it. You cannot make yourself treasure Jesus, but you can change your behavior. You can do things that will help you develop a treasuring of Jesus, a desire to treasure him above all else. You read the Bible to grow in knowing Jesus so that you can discover how great he is and why he can be our greatest treasure. We obey him even when we don't really like it or we don't quite understand, so that we can grow to learn why his way is the best way to live. We will never treasure Jesus if we do not practice the habits of treasuring Jesus. As a Jesus-shaped community, we seek to treasure Jesus. We treasure Jesus by praise and thanksgiving in song and in prayer. We treasure Jesus by repenting of our sin when we've treasured other things more than Jesus. We treasure Jesus by our expression of our community here, by the way that we love and forgive and respect one another. We treasure Jesus by putting his preferences above our own, by seeking what is good for our church, not just what is good for us. We treasure Jesus by our generosity and time and energy and money. We treasure Jesus by being generous in our relationships with one another, by our openness and welcoming to people from other cultures and backgrounds than our own, and adapting to help include them in the life of our church. Blacktown Anglican exists to know Jesus, to treasure Jesus, and to depend on Jesus. To depend on Jesus is to rely on him for guidance and courage, strength and change. It means being prayerful in all things because we believe that Jesus is infinitely powerful and he is infinitely trustworthy. To depend on Jesus is to be bold and courageous in our dreams for this church, as we expressed last week. To be bold and courageous in how we will reach our city, because we know that there is nothing impossible for God. And that unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. As a Jesus-shaped community, we seek to depend on Jesus. We depend on Jesus by praying for everything that we do. By praying for God to first change our own hearts and our own minds. Praying that he will use our gifts and resources in order to accomplish his mission. We depend on Jesus by boldly taking risks to reach people who don't yet know Jesus. And we won't reach the thousands of families who live in our city or the university students at the new university. Or indeed the great diversity of people who live in the city of Blacktown. We will not reach them without bold and calculated risks for the sake of people's eternity. And we must depend deeply on Jesus for that. We depend on Jesus by trusting the Bible as both the message and the method of our mission and ministry here at church. We depend on Jesus by not relying on cheap tricks or entertainment to grow our church, but by deep reliance on the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us and all people. Blacktown Anglican exists to know Jesus, to treasure Jesus, to depend on Jesus, and to represent Jesus. We represent Jesus to the world by the way that we live. We represent Jesus in our words, our actions, our character, our decisions. No, we shine like a city on top of a hill that shines brightly around it. We are a light of hope for our world as we point to the goodness of Jesus and show that his way is best by the way that we live together in a church community. As a Jesus-shaped community, we seek to represent Jesus. We welcome people into our church, just as God welcomed us into his family. We don't force newcomers and guests to be like us, but rather we accommodate them by removing as many barriers as possible to them being part of God's family and partnering in our mission as a church family. It means we adjust our language and our practices as appropriate so that they do not hinder people from knowing Jesus. And they do not hinder them from having them partner with us in Jesus' mission for this church. We represent Jesus by our gracious words and actions, by our gracious thoughts. We do not gossip about people or speak about them behind their back. Instead, we pursue unity. The unity we have together in Jesus. We pursue good relationships in our church community. We represent Jesus by serving one another, being generous, hospitable, and sacrificial in the way that we serve. And we represent Jesus in the way we desperately seek to make the good news of Jesus known to the people of our city and across the world through our mission partners like BCA. Brothers and sisters, Jesus has given us one single mission: to make disciples of all nations. To help us understand what this means, we describe it in this way: that we exist to know Jesus, to treasure Jesus, to depend on Jesus, and to represent Jesus. From today, this is language that you will hear us often speak about in church. But we have no other mission. There's no other reason why we exist. This is the mission we are pursuing together as a church, a mission to make disciples. This is the mission that will guide the way we make decisions and allocate our resources. It will shape our ministry activities that we engage in, the things we say yes to, the things that we say no to. It affects the staff that we employ, the way that we will manage our finances and our property. So what now? Well, next week we will conclude our vision series as we unpack what does this vision and mission mean for us, for every person here, day to day and week to week. What does it mean? What does it look like? What will change? And next week we will spend a lot of time on that. Today I simply wanted to finish by speaking about my responsibility and my commitment to you as a church. I've been the senior minister here for 10 months, and in that time, I have learned that every person in this church has a different expectation about what I should do. Yeah, you laugh. Of course, there are lots of things you all agree on, but there are many other expectations that you don't agree on. And let me tell you, there is no possible way that any one person could meet the expectations of every member of this church. Completely impossible. Friends, I cannot promise you that you will like every decision that I make. I cannot promise you that I won't change things that you personally love. I cannot promise you that the future will be easy. Do you know sometimes I have to make decisions that I don't like to make? There are decisions that I would prefer not to make. If I only ever made decisions I liked, I would make the ones that are very easy, very comfortable, that makes nobody upset and everyone like me. Really, I'm only human. But you should be really glad that's not how I make decisions. It would be terrible for you and for our whole church if that's how I made decisions. My responsibility is not to make decisions that you like. My responsibility is not to make decisions that I like. My responsibility is to make decisions that are for the ultimate good of Jesus' church here in Blacktown. Because at the end of my life, Jesus is the only one that I have to give an account to for the way that I led his church here. I cannot promise you that you will like every decision I make. But there's one thing that I can promise you of. As your senior minister, I can promise you this. I will do all that I possibly can to help us as a whole church community grow together in knowing Jesus, treasuring Jesus, depending on Jesus, and representing Jesus. I can promise you that. Jesus has given us one mission, and I am committed to leading our church to strive for that mission. Last week, if you were here, you will recall we shared a vision for our church. And the vision is really a picture of what it will look like for us to succeed in this mission. If we pursue knowing Jesus, treasuring Jesus, depending on Jesus, and representing Jesus, this is the way that we will seek to achieve our vision. Our vision is that we want to see our city flourish in God's good design through a Jesus-shaped community. Humanly speaking, one of the main obstacles for us achieving this vision will be our willingness to act in ways that please Jesus instead of ourselves. We will need to focus less on what we personally like and more on what helps our church pursue Jesus' mission. Friends, I hope you like a lot of what our church will do. I really do. You may not like all of it. Perhaps you might not like most of it. But my prayer is that every one of us will grow together in love by letting go of our personal preferences, holding onto them a little more loosely for the sake of others, and that we might cling more tightly to Jesus' mission for our church. My prayer is that we would be a Jesus-shaped community, more than anything else, that wants every person here and every person in our city to know Jesus, to treasure Jesus, to depend on Jesus, and to represent Jesus. Let's pray that we might do that under God.